Matthew chapter 25, and we're going to start in verse 31, and we're going to be reading the remainder of this chapter. So bear with me, it's a lot of reading, but I think it's going to be helpful to read the whole thing. It says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of God. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. And I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and say unto him, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, and fed thee, and thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and for his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't take me in. I was naked, and you clothed me not. I was sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, and athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of these least of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal." God's judgment is a theme that we find throughout the Old and the New Testament, really quite a bit when you if you think about it. Most of the Old Testament references to judgment are regarding more so the temporal things. God pronouncing that he's going to destroy a nation or an individual or a group of people because of their wickedness. And it was mostly in a temporal nature in the Old Testament. But then when you get to the New Testament, the references to judgment there are mostly regarding the eternal realm. What's going to happen to us in the next life after we leave this world? And there's no one person that spoke of judgment any more than the Lord Jesus himself. And believe it or not, that is consistent with his character. And not that he is harsh or threatening and the one that wants to speak of judgment all the time, but rather he is loving and he's concerned. And that's why he speaks of judgment so much in the scripture. The Bible says that he wept when he was considering the impending judgment that was going to come upon Jerusalem. It broke his heart. And for that same reason, that's why he speaks of judgment so often, is because he's warning of the judgment to come. And those warnings come from a desire for his people to be delivered. He wants us to be delivered. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the sole desire of the Lord Jesus. And that's why he gives these warnings and these proclamations of judgment to come. He's appealing for all people to come to him, drawing men unto himself, not just through invitations, but through warnings. He wants them to come to him. And as the Son of God, everything Jesus said and everything he would say now would be truthful, which means that when he was speaking as a truthful Son of God, he spoke of the good, the bad, and the ugly. He covered all of it, and declaring not just the beauty of salvation, but also the horrors of judgment, and just as he did in this in the latter part of this text we just read. And so here, these are the closing words of his last sermon, the last sermon he would preach before his death upon the cross. And we find here really one of the most sobering warnings of judgment to be found, to be recorded anyway, in our New Testament Bibles. And so he speaks here of the separation of the sheep from the goats, which is the righteous from the unrighteous. And this is a judgment that's going to take place at the end of the tribulation period. Now, if you'll remember, chapter 24 and 25, dealing with end time events, primarily the 7 years of tribulation, okay? This judgment's going to take place at the end of that, just prior to the Lord Jesus Christ setting up his millennial kingdom. At this point, the eternal destinies of everyone will have been determined. And it's going to be strictly based upon whether they enter into the kingdom or not. It's going to be strictly based upon whether they belong to the king or not, if they're kingdom children. And so this particular teaching is only found here in the book of Matthew. It's not found in the other three gospels, and that makes sense because, as we learned way early on in the beginning of the study of the book of Matthew, that the theme of this book, it emphasizes the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. You find Jesus as the king mostly in these gospels, and there's a lot more focus on the kingdom in the book of Matthew than is in the other three gospels. Now, let me just remind you the primary themes of each gospel. We've gone over this before. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, they all tell of the same story, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They present the gospel, but they also, each one, present Jesus with an emphasis on a particular characteristic of his ministry or his personality. Matthew presents him mostly as a king. Mark presents him mostly as a servant. Luke presents him as a savior. And then you get over in the book of John, and it emphasizes him being the Son of God, emphasizing his deity. There again, they put more emphasis, each one of them, on those particular characteristics of his ministry here on earth, okay? And so to know those, I would encourage you to know those. Matthew's king, Mark's servant, Luke is salvation, a savior, and then the Lord, John has him in his deity. And it's going to be helpful for each one of us if you'll remember those four things as we study our Bibles and we read those particular Gospels. It'd be good to know that, and you'll see that it's very true. Okay, so now we visit the subject of judgment. Keep in mind, Jesus is king, and so he has the authority to judge based on his role as king. And if we are one of his subjects, if we are a child of God, then we're a sheep, right? If we are not citizens of his kingdom, then in this particular reading, we would be considered one of the goats, one that don't belong to him. Now, I want you to notice verse 31. It says there, the very first verse we read, it says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." Now, keep in mind that this happens, this happens just the way the parable of the 10 virgins spoke of that we read earlier in this chapter. The opportunity for salvation is over at this point. Once verse 31 happens, the Lord Jesus Christ makes his return and makes his appearance, then the fate of each soul will have already been decided. There will be no more salvation after that point, okay? And we know that the tribulation period is a 7-year period. That's very obvious. We've studied that time and time again. It's common knowledge. The second half, I'll remind you, of the tribulation period is that second 3.5 years is known as the Great Tribulation. The emphasis put upon it is great tribulation, and it's going to be especially severe. Abomination of desolation will take place midway. That is, the Antichrist will set himself up on the throne, go into the temple, defile it, and from that point on, all hell breaks loose, okay? So that second 3.5 years is going to be more devastating than the first 3.5. But the book of Daniel is a really good Old Testament book that to blend in with what Jesus teaches in Mark or Matthew 24 and 25, and what the book of Revelation teaches. If you do any kind of study with Daniel in mind, it's helpful, because Daniel has a lot to say in his Old Testament prophecies regarding those end time things. Okay, Daniel in the book in his book in the Old Testament has prophecies relating to these events, and it's interesting that he in chapter 12 he speaks of three different numbers of days. Now bear with me here. This I think will be helpful. In Daniel chapter 12 he speaks of that 3.5 years. Okay, that second 3.5 years. We're aware of that. 3.5 years is 1260 days, right? Okay, then Daniel chapter 12 and verse 11, Daniel speaks about 1290 days. Okay, so that's 30 more days. That tacks on 30 more days to the 3.5 years. And then if you go to the next verse, in verse 12 of chapter 12, he speaks of 1335 days, which adds yet another 45 days to the 3.5 years. So just stay with me here. In total, Daniel's prophecy has added 75 days to the 3.5 years. What's going to take place in that 75 days? It's really, now you can't be dogmatic about hardly anything regarding end times, okay? We can just gain as much knowledge as possible and be led of the Spirit and do the best we can, okay? So what I'm about to tell you is not saying, I can't say it dogmatically, there's no way of knowing exactly, but we've got a 75-day period there that Daniel talks about, and we don't have any clarity made of it, and so perhaps what we're studying here tonight about the judgment to come will take place during that time. It stands to reason Jesus, we know he's going to descend, he's going to come through the eastern sky, he's going to make his appearance, and he's going to descend all the way to earth to the Mount of Olives. And Scripture is very clear about that. He's coming completely to earth. At the rapture, he doesn't come completely to the earth. We meet him in the air and go to be with him, okay? But when he comes after the end of the tribulation, he comes all the way down to the Mount of Olives. And the battle of Armageddon is already going to be shaping up. You remember all the nations of the world are beginning to turn against Israel. Well, they're already doing that now, but to a greater degree, it'll be a worldwide converging upon Israel. And they're not only going to be converging on Israel, but all who have put their faith in Christ during that tribulation period. So the battle of Armageddon will be taking shape. What takes place at the Battle of Armageddon is, we think, the scholars think it'll be the Valley of Jezreel. It's a place that this massive assembly of the nation's armies will begin to assemble in that Valley of Jezreel, and they're going to be, it's going to have the beast and the Antichrist, and all the Christ-rejecting people of the world are going to converge upon that, and they're going to be prepared to do battle against Israel and do battle against any of God's people that have been saved, Gentiles, during that period. And of course, they'll be doing battle with the Lord Jesus Christ, which means they don't have a chance, okay? And so all of this is going to involve, they're aligning themselves against anything pertaining to God, okay? Whether it be the Jews, whether it be the Christians, or whether it be Christ coming himself, okay? Aligning him for this war. It's not that Jesus needs any help, okay, in this battle. He's going to get along pretty good, okay? But nonetheless, look what verse 31 tells us. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels of heaven will be with him. all of the angels. Okay, I thought about that. I never noticed that. I knew the angels were coming with him. But this scripture says that all of the holy angels will be with him. I don't know how many angels there are, but it's going to be all hands on deck. Okay? And Paul speaks of this in the book of Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. Listen to these two verses. In Thessalonians 1 and verse 7, he says, "When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels," see, it says the same thing, "in flaming fire, he's going to take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." So the Apostle Paul is talking of this very thing that we're studying here. Now, let's do this. Back up probably a page in your Bible to Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to revisit these scriptures for just a moment. Chapter 24 and verse 29. And our text says in verse 29, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken." Okay, things just unravel big time. Okay, verse 30, "Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect." Now, who's the elect? It's the people that belong to him, "from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other." So this text includes, we've already seen where the angels are going to be accompanying the Lord Jesus Christ, but this text includes another detail about that event. Not only will it be the angels and will it be our Lord, but also all of the redeemed will be coming with the Lord Jesus Christ. Who all does that take in? Well, that takes in all the Old Testament saints, those that were redeemed during Old Testament times and died and went to be with the Lord. Also, all the saved that have died during the church age, the age we live within, all our loved ones that have died in Christ, they're going to be coming, okay? All of the people who are raptured when Jesus comes to rapture his church, that could be you and I, we don't know yet, okay? And then that rapture, of course, takes place before the tribulation begins. And then all of the believers that get saved during the tribulation. So every redeemed person, along with every angel, will be coming with the Lord Jesus Christ for this this great battle of Armageddon, okay? The entirety of God's people will be present, and the unbelieving world is going to be defeated so handily, and they're going to be judged immediately, okay? And Revelation chapter 19, let me read you these verses real quick. It says this in verse 19, "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army." Okay, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the king, sitting upon his horse. They're gathered up, just like we've already learned. Verse 20 says, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." So the Antichrist, the beast, they're going to be taken at that point with the defeat of all the Christ-rejecting world. They're going to be cast in the lake of fire. And if you were to read on in chapter 20, in the next chapter, chapter 20, and verse 2, it goes on to say, at that point, Satan is cast into the bottomless pit, to be bound there for 1,000 years. Of course, that's during the 1,000-year reign of Christ here on earth, okay? So, immediately after all of this takes place, Jesus will establish his kingdom here on earth, and where he'll reign for 1,000 years, a millennial kingdom, okay? So the judgment that we're reading about here in chapter 26 is going to be carried out at the very end of the tribulation. Whether that's what the 75 days that Daniel's talking about is, if that's what they're going to be taking place during those days, we don't know, but it does make sense. Okay, there's going to be a lot going on, I can tell you that, and we're going to be triumphant with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're already triumphant. We've got the win already. Okay, we're in the winner's bracket, but in the ultimate sense, in every sense of the word, victory will be had on during when that battle is won. Okay, and so the next time we're together, hopefully we'll get past verse 31 and get into some new territory there as well. Just be ready, folks. Be ready. Somebody's hungry, feed them. If they thirst, give them drink. They're in the hospital, go visit them. I'm going to go see Rob tomorrow. Okay, I'm doing my job. Y'all stand. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. Okay. Appreciate you guys very much. Jeff, will you lead us, please?